Welcome to the ICANN podcast, the podcast of the Indiana Catholic Conference. The Indiana Catholic Conference is the official public policy voice of the Catholic bishops of Indiana. Welcome back to the ICANN podcast. This is Alexander, and I'm happy to be with you for another week of talking about what's been going on at the Indiana State House. And I want to expand this week of talking a little bit about something that went on outside of the State House, which was the Indiana March for Life, which happened on Monday, January 22nd. And perhaps more importantly, what the Church in the United States celebrates on January 22nd, a day of prayer for the legal protection of unborn children. There was a mass in Indianapolis for this very reason, the day of prayer for protection, legal protection of unborn children. And four of our state's five bishops were in attendance, along with nearly 2,000 Catholics from across the state representing all of our state's dioceses. And it was a beautiful witness to solidarity amongst all of our state's dioceses, the entire ecclesial province. And the march itself was beautiful as well, to see so many witnessing to the dignity of preborn life. And also, I think, echoing what the U.S. bishops have said for several years, a desire to be in radical solidarity with moms in need and to walk with moms in need. And so you may ask, why does the church feel like it's necessary to continue this in Indiana when we've had a pretty strong policy prohibiting abortions in the state since 2022? And I think the answer lies in the recognition that there are minds and hearts to change, and that it's more about an ongoing conversion than demanding a specific policy at the state level at this point. And so we hope that in that marching and in that witnessing that it's part of a culture transformation rather than a specific plea for state legislators. And so I think it was heartening to see all of that, everyone come together on Monday, the 22nd of January. Going back to the special session of 2022, I think there was some criticism of how the bill was structured and whether or not it would actually prevent abortions in Indiana, to what extent would it do so. And I have a little bit of information to share about that. In 2023, I guess in every year since 2013, the Indiana Department of Health has put forward a terminated pregnancy report in each quarter. And in 2023, the quarter three report was recently released. And we don't yet have the fourth quarter report for last year, but we do have the third quarter report. And that told us that in that third quarter, there were 764 abortions that were completed. And only 17 of those occurred after the abortion ban went into effect in late August. And so I think that tells us of the success of Senate Enrolled Act 1 passed during the special session. And I think it's something to be grateful for, something to continue to improve. And I think the question will continue to remain for those women who seek abortion, say, outside the state, or those who perhaps procure medication abortion and aren't reporting that in this report. I mean, I think those are realities, but I think we can also look at this report and rejoice and also double our commitment to walk with moms in need, to be in radical solidarity with them as the bishops urge us to. So I also wanted to cover Senate Bill 98, which was heard in the State House this year, last week. And the bill would allow parents to claim a preborn child on their state taxes, basically giving them a tax break. And what this would allow, I think, is two things. One, it would affirm the dignity of the preborn child as a human person. Secondly, it would give parents some needed financial relief during that time frame. Because for those of you who have been parents, you know that there are increased financial stressors with having a child, with prenatal care. These are things that the state is also trying to address, maternal health. And we think this would be a good step in the right direction of helping to relieve some of the financial pressures that a family faces during that time, also acknowledging the dignity of the child. So that bill is not going to move at all this year. It was heard, testimony was allowed, but there is no vote on the bill. And the main reason for that is it's not a budget year, and something like that, it more properly belongs in a budget year because it has to do with the state budget. So we're going to keep an eye on that and hope that it's brought up next year and that we'll continue to support that. So we hope that we can count on your voice to add to that support as well, to let our lawmakers know come next year, the 2025 session, that this is something that you'd want to see as a way of the state helping to affirm and support women and families and preborn children in Indiana. Finally, I want to move to a little summary of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops' recent praise of the U.S. Congress agreeing on a strengthened child tax credit. And so this is something the bishops have repeatedly urged Congress to pass in recent years. They recognize that it's had one of the greatest effects on reducing child poverty as a policy. The bishops have seen that and said, this is a worthy endeavor. This is the kind of policies, pro-family policies that Congress should prioritize. And so I wanted to echo that because we're talking about this week about children and families and supporting them, both through legal protections, but then also perhaps through helping to relieve many of the economic pressures that lead to a devaluing of human life. And so I'd encourage you to look at the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops website, where they have a description of their advocacy on the child tax credit. And I think the other thing I wanted to cover is how this advocacy, the U.S. Bishops' advocacy on the child tax credit, their main praise of that agreement that our federal legislators reached was how that tax credit does a much better job of targeting the lowest income children, and then that it helps the families that have really the least economic means. And this is something that is part of our constant tradition. This is something that the church has always repeatedly talked about, and maybe you've heard the phrase preferential option for the poor. I think this preferential option for the poor is a phrase that comes directly from our church's social doctrine. And so just to quote a few things for you to help you understand where this comes from, I think a lot of it is rooted in Matthew 25. Okay, what you did to one of the least of my brethren, you did to me, right? When Christ tells us that. And then you see in the catechism, the church says the church's love for the poor is part of our constant tradition. And then you have many other papal quotes that point us in the right direction, I think. They help us to recognize where this comes from Christ himself. And then also, like Pope Paul VI said, he said, everyone knows that the fathers of the church lay down the duty of the rich towards the poor in no uncertain terms. And finally, I'll point out a quote from Pope Leo XIII. He said, when there is a questioning of defending the rights of individuals, the defenseless and the poor have a claim to special consideration. And these are just some highlights. I'd encourage you, if this is interesting to you or challenging to you, to dive deeper. There's always a deeper place to go. And I think the deeper you go, the closer we can get to the heart of Christ. And so that's something I wanted to leave you with today, if you wonder, why do the U.S. bishops advocate for something like the child tax credit? I think it's rooted in the church's prime principle of her social doctrine, the dignity of the human person. Because the church recognizes that the moral, spiritual, and material needs of a person with human dignity should be met, and there are many ways to meet them, and that a state has a particular duty, along with all of us, to ensure those needs are met. But then also, their fundamental rights, especially the right to life, to go back to the beginning, and the March for Life, and that day of prayer for legal protection of the unborn. We have a duty to pray for these things too. And I think that's what I want to leave you with today. Pray for us here at the Indiana Catholic Conference as we continue to track bills this session. There'll be many more updates and more bills to follow as we make our way through this short session here in 2024. Thank you so much.